Good evening, Phoenix and friends. How we doing, ladies and gentlemen? James out west on this Monday, November 7th, 2022. A little bit different. We are not in the studio because NAU basketball and ASU basketball takes over the airwaves on KDUS 1060 AM. Shout out. So we're coming to you live-ish. You might see this tomorrow, so it won't be live for y'all. But it is Monday night in the Valley. Got Ryan Rooks over in the left-hand corner. We got Pat Desart at the bottom corner. I don't know if the bottom's a corner, but it
You
is
get to
what
see our
it's
faces
like. Goofy time.
on the nights.
It's goofy
Cool.
time. How you boys doing?
Hey man,
Great.
we're still showing up to work, right? We
That
gotta put in, even though the NAU's taking over for us. We did
was
some work
okay. It
over the
was worth
weekend.
it. You know, it's worth it to share the airwaves, you know. And we could have taken on tomorrow, but figured, we'll just move on to the next week, keep it moving. There was an exciting. Might have been the most exciting weekend of football in a long time between college and the pros. You had LSU beating the Alabama Crimson Tide. All right, they got beat. All
That
right,
but that wow, that game was nuts. That last moment,
it was incredible.
them
Shout out
storming the
Palmer. I know you're
field.
not watching this, but shout out your LSU Tigers, pulled away with a victory. He was very, very happy at the Suns game. Shout out Palmer on that. Notre Dame smacking Clemson around a little bit. Ohio State getting a scare. There was a lot of stuff that happened over that college football Saturday. Not that we get too deep into
And
it, but you know what I'm saying?
yeah, no, it I think the biggest thing was LSU. Like, I mean, that was epic. There's just so many moments. I mean, even Shaq being on the sidelines. There was just a lot to it, but that last play to finish that game and then the storm. You even see an old lady in a walker. I don't know if you guys have seen this clip. There's an old
Did
lady
not
in a
see that clip.
walker.
I haven't seen it either. Yeah.
It's
Well, she get healed by Jesus and
epic.
get up and walk away from the walker?
Hey,
It's
it's
weird though, like
Louisiana. You
as
never know what's going to happen.
it's weird as like an ASU fan. Like, I don't know how I feel about like Jaden Daniels like winning that game. Like, I'm like part happy for him, but at the same time, like, you know, Maddie left ASU, but still great win for
Okay, so let me
LSU.
ask you real quick on that. Do you think if he was at ASU, their record would be any different than it is now? I Oh,
mean,
I'm going to say
13,
no.
well, 14 other dudes left, you know, so it would take more than just him.
Yeah,
But
okay. Fair enough.
yeah, he's better
Fair
than
enough.
what we've got. Like, I mean,
I don't
yeah.
know. I don't know. This freshman that they got at ASU, we'll get into it next year if he ends up being a guy, but he's got some French last name. I feel bad that I don't know it enough, but it's like Bourget or Balgué. It's
Either
something
way, I
like
was so hyped on Jaden being our quarterback. Like, he was a true freshman starter for us, had like a
right.
great freshman year. You know, like, it sucked to see him leave and then to have
Bourget.
the success.
Trenton Bourget.
There we go. See,
Yep,
I knew it was
sorry.
something like that. That's too bad. Yeah.
Sorry,
So,
Pat. Go
I mean, you
ahead.
can see ASU pride. I don't know how I feel about that, but it's, you know, obviously a huge win for LSU and yeah, great college football
Hey,
weekend.
good for
Yeah, no, it
them.
was legit. It was a legit college football weekend. We are live. That's Cale's face showing up. Hello. You see
Yeah,
him. Nugget.
buddy. What up, my
He
man?
needed me to open up something on his Oculus. Get out of here.
So,
But
okay,
yeah, the
before we
college
get into
football
the
games
NFL,
were legit. What's up?
you and I had some cool experiences. Like it was Friday night, I got to cover the Suns.
Yeah, that was pretty cool for
Went
you, I mean,
down
considering.
to the last shot. You got to cover the Suns on Saturday. They won by what, 20 something?
They won by
20?
20. I really needed them to win by about 12. It would have helped my parlay. I had a plus 2300 out there that was riding on the Suns to basically win by less than 15 points. So I blame
Yeah.
the Trailblazers on missing those two late threes that could have cut it to the 14 points I needed. But the Suns got out with a much needed victory. They were, bro, they were exhausted. That
Yeah,
team was
back-to-back
tired.
games against the Trailblazers, like, you know,
Yeah.
it's cool to see them get their redemption the night after that buzzer beater.
Right. But in this,
That
series,
was,
season
and he
series,
traveled.
he did. And the NBA came out and said that he did. You know, in the season series, they still lost, though, 2-1. Like, they only played three games.
Yeah,
So,
no.
yeah, and no Dame. And then Dame played tonight.
Hey, but by the way,
Yeah.
big sports weekend in Phoenix, though. Like, it wasn't just the Suns Trailblazers. You
Yeah,
had
you have
other.
that stat, don't you, there, P?
It was, yeah, we had ASU, UCLA. You know, that used to be a good matchup. I don't know if it really is anymore. You obviously then you had the NASCAR championship, Joey Logano taking it. You know, probably the only NASCAR stat you'll hear from me.
Here it is, Pat. I follow up.
And then the Cardinals Seahawks.
So
Yeah,
you
it
had
was a big weekend in the desert. You had Saturday, you had Trailblazers and the Suns, UCLA, ASU, and then Sunday you had the NASCAR championship and the Cardinals game. That's a wild weekend here in the desert. I had a bye and I had a happy household because the Seahawks
Oh
might be
yeah.
legit.
Oh yeah. I mean, first off, and I wish we had the sound bites because I worked all day on them, but there was a lot of things that kind of tied into, like, we know nothing. This season's been a fucking disaster for everybody. Hold on. The Jets
Coaching
are good.
fucking
Hey,
sucks.
the AFC East is the best division in football.
I was telling my wife this last night.
And I don't know how I don't know how you refute that.
So you're looking at the NFC least or beast of what we've talked about, and then the AFC East, and you're comparing, what is it, 24 to 23 wins, and then everybody else is like at 17, 18 wins. It is ridiculous. Like, it's crazy. The coaching is schemes are just mind-boggling to me, and what Vegas is doing is screwing me because we're not picking wins, we're picking off the spread, and it's screwing me every
well
fucking
you could go we could here's the thing in our picks you still have to pick against the spread, but in real money, I mean, you can go money line. I mean, you know, when you're using your money, you can do what you
I
need
know
to do. Ultimately,
but I get held accountable on this shit.
Ultimately, the only people that are consistently winning is Vegas again, because of things like what we saw. When you see that 85% of the money's on the Bills, we know better, right? We know better, but we still do it anyways. Because in our minds, we can't wrap around our head that the New York J-E-T-S Jets – stop. Yours is simp – Rook, stop. Yours is simply because – and I wish I
the
had
only
it.
One of the ones that
stop.
Had
skip,
1-6
skip.
Wins. So.
Now skip. Listen here, skip. No. Only because you're going against, you're doing the George Costanza. You're going against your gut. You're like, oh, I should do this. We talked about this. You do it on Thursdays. I'm going the opposite way. So I give no credence to or gaps, or as the young people like to say now, your flowers. I'm not giving you any fucking flowers for picking against yourself, against fading yourself because you're so bad at picking. With that being said, I still think I had more right than you this week.
Did you?
I think so.
Let's see. I
Maybe
think
by
you did.
one,
I
but
think you
one's
had
enough.
One more.
It might be one, but one's enough.
I was beating you. And
you
we
were.
Talked. We talked.
Game's
yesterday.
Worn over.
I was
Game's
on.
Worn over.
I was on a streak. I should have had 10 wins.
Should have.
And then.
How many should haves I had? Hey,
then,
shout out, Darius Butler. If ifs were fifths, we'd all be drunk.
Okay, I got 6 wins. You got. You can't see that. I got 6. You got 7.
Cheers.
Yeah, well, the
I'll shut up. I'll shut
match
up.
Their wins from the last two seasons. So,
right.
Again, like,
what, so the Jets are 6-3.
Yep.
Last
year they got
4
wins.
2.
Yep.
The
Dude, what was this?
Dolphins are 6-3.
Yep.
And the Pats are what? 4-4? 5-4.
Five and three. They got five wins.
Best division in football. And what we thought was going to be the best division of football, the AFC West. What are you shaking your head at? That's everybody's got a winning record. That's the best division of football.
Unless you
AFC East,
yeah, sure.
Yeah, AFC East.
Yeah, if you want to, go off, everyone's got a winning record.
Yeah,
then you got
off,
the,
and
the NFC
and
East.
Not
okay.
just
the NFC. It just wins more.
Yes, but look at all four teams. Let me ask you.
Yes, correct.
All four
correct.
Teams are playing better. They're playing as a record.
Consistent.
They are the best division. I'm not standing up for them. I fucking hate that division. But when you look at it all the way down the board, they are the best division of football. Because
the NFC 6-2, 6-3, 6-3, 5-4.
Yeah.
If you can now, tally up all the wins, the NFC East has one more win.
There you go. Then, oh, okay. The NFC East? Is that?
Yeah.
Oh. Yeah, but
the Eagles
are the bottom of their division, 4-5, Washington.
But that's what I was saying.
There's
so
the one
you
game
have
yeah.
with the so 8-0, 6-2, 6-2, 4-5. So there's just because
yeah, no,
Eagles
you're right. You're right.
That.
No, so the two East
two,
divisions.
There's 2 6 win teams, you know.
And the other team has 6 wins as well.
The Eagles, doesn't? Man.
It, that's really interesting.
Be,
no, that's
like,
a good hey, that's a good point between the two divisions and they're both the Easts. And they both
and
have,
by the way,
New York team.
Yeah. And, you know, the Commanders, you know, they put up a pretty good fight against the Vikings. You know, we were watching that game, and you even mentioned, like, you know, I was telling you, like, I was like, the Vikings haven't really impressed me much. And you were defending that the Commanders are better than, yes, you know, I'm giving them credit. So maybe they're better than you're giving them credit for right now. And, you know, it's a pretty good division.
You're right. No, dude, and after, you're not that out, by your after pointing that out, you might be right. The NFC East might be better than the AFC East. Well, they are.
It's close.
They are statistically by one game. And that one game is so the 4-5 and the 5-4. I mean, that's the difference there.
Coming from a Vikings fan, what, you guys are 7-1, right? Is that correct?
Yep.
Yes.
Okay, so you're not impressed by them yet?
They haven't, like, I mean, it's every game is a one-score game, and we're coming out on top. You know, I'm most impressed with our win against the Cardinals because it was our most, like, all-together game. You know, Justin Jefferson had a good game. Dalvin had a good game. You know, Adam Thielen played well. Our defense had all these turnovers. It was, the only game that we've showed a complete game. So, you know, I just don't want to get a big head at 7-1. I still, you know, we play the Bills next week. That'll be our big test. If we beat the Bills,
coming off a loss to the Jets.
Like, and I know talking about Allen's arm potentially being an issue. So we might, again, we might luck out, end up being 8-1, everyone going, oh my God, the Vikings are so good, but we beat a beat up Bills team. You know what I mean? Like,
so, okay. So here's what I say for one, it sounds like Allen's arm is okay. He came out today saying everything looks good. You guys are really good. Kirk Cousins is rocking chains, fucking flossing, doing his thing in his dance on the plane. Like, man, Joan is like little shirt off, like, dude's got some shoulders, man. He's kind of big.
Oh, he's
like,
jacked. Yeah, that was kind of impressive. He's jacked.
Yeah, that was impressive.
He's always said he's been jacked.
But I think you guys are really good. Like, I think you guys are going to come down to it. And I think you guys are a better team than a lot of people. A lot of people are hyping you, but then there's also a lot of the people like around like yourself that are Minnesota.
We're walking into we could gritty into the playoffs. You know what I mean? Like, for real.
Hey, that's best way to say it. Like, but you brought up the fact of how close your guys' games are. James, you told me a stat earlier today when we were talking.
Yeah, there was, like,
this is crazy to me.
So there was like
104?
104 games through week 9 of the NFL season have been decided by one score. Think about that.
And that's
like, that's more, that, I don't know if that was the record. I don't remember if that was the record for an entire season or up until week 9. That's a record, but I know that and think about this from a gambling standpoint, how many games are floated out there as double digit lines? Like, look at that Tennessee Kansas City game last night. Tennessee.
We had one.
Yep. And none of those covered. Everything is within, like, legit. But that one score could be the difference between 8 points. You know what I mean? So it's like, that's still one score, but 8 points is, you know what I mean? Like, that feels like two scores. So when they rank something 8, 8.5, it's like, ugh. You know, how are we going to – everybody keeps it relatively close. The difference might be, they're down three. Sure. They're down three. They're down three, and they threw a pick, and then it turned into a score. Now they lost by 10. But the game was close the whole game. You know what I'm saying? A lot of times that's what happens. It comes down to one play, fourth quarter, somebody makes a turn where they were down by, you know, usually a field goal or less, and then give up a touchdown late. Now it really puts that to that, you know, that double-digit victory, quote-unquote, even though we haven't had very many of those.
For the Seahawks, they could have literally sat on it with that 3-point lead, but they were trying to prove a fucking point. Go in, score. Dude. Late in the game, 10 points, then they end up winning by 10. It's just, it changes the landscape of shit.
Me and Pat were talking about, like, is Pete Carroll coach of the year? And Mike, first it was like, yes, but then at the same time, it's like, wait a minute. Is it? Is it? Look, they're going to win. If they win their division, a division that everybody thought they were going to be, but at the same time, is that more surprising? And it's very surprising. They knew, and remember, we've been hearing from them this whole time about how they thought they were still going to be good. Like, they knew what Russ was. They knew what Mr. Unlimited was. They knew what his cancerous soul, black heartless eyes, generic ass was. They knew what he was. So as soon as they got him out and knew that Geno could run their system, So they knew, but nobody else did. Right. But is that more impressive than what the Giants, and I hate it, shout out Brooklyn Paulie, I hate it, what the Giants are doing or what the Jets are doing and Robert Saleh? It's not like Zach Wilson is playing like Justin Herbert did last year, or Zach Wilson is playing like Mahomes is. Zach Wilson is playing football like Daniel Dimes.
Right.
Both of New York teams are playing with average ass quarterbacks.
You know, we did talk about and like he might not be in the lead. He might not be the front runner, but he deserves to be in the conversation, you know, nine games through. And they don't give trophies for nine games through. But I think 100%, like, it's a surprise where they've been with Geno. And like, you know, I'll go, this is a weird kind of reference, fantasy football. When I drafted, you know, I was looking at drafting DK Metcalf. Everyone was like, oh, I don't know how I'll be with Geno. Like, people were doubting.
I remember that.
Everyone was picking them to be last in the division. Like, it's impressive.
Yeah, I agree. Okay, 100% agree. And I hate doing that because, CJ, I hate your team.
So is this on John Schneider or is this on Pete Carroll? Because Pete Carroll probably voiced this, but John Schneider was the one to make this move, right? He got the draft picks. So with what we're talking about.
Oh, I'm sure it's hand in hand. If it's as bad as the tea leaves are saying it was in Seattle, especially the last 5 years, well, and that's a lot of time.
Yep.
If it's been that bad that long, I am sure Pete Carroll and John Schneider, not John Schneider from Dukes of Hazzard, shout out Bogey, but John Schneider, that this is the what? I ain't lying. This is they're in lockstep, bro. Those two are in lockstep, very similar to how Shanahan and Lynch are, in the sense of everything that gets done, we run it by each other. Because they probably have the same philosophy, is it very rare they're going to have a problem with players? If anything, Schneider might have held on to Russ a few too many years, according to Carroll. Carroll would have got rid of him 2 years ago.
I agree. So let's go full circle on this, because I know we want to cover some of these games and we're not going to get into everything. So with Dable, he's coach of the year right now. Pete Carroll is up there. Dable, what he's done with the Giants. But the Jets also, like, God, I love Saleh. I mean, you know, I love Saleh, but
he's doing the most with least. Saleh's doing the most with least.
And he took the fucking heat at the beginning and said, it's not them, it's me. And now they're fucking producing. So that's the biggest thing for me. So, hey, let's get into some of these games, because we don't need to cover every game. There's nothing ridiculous. But I was on a bye, so I don't have anything to worry about.
Me neither. It was nice to have a Sunday where I didn't get disappointed, although between that and my bets. But go ahead.
Dude, so first off, let's get into the Colts.
Yeah.
So
this morning,
fire coach today. Then, like, within an hour and a half, we find out Jeff Saturday's hired.
That. So I first saw it come through on Twitter, because I was on the Twitter on my I've been doing more tweeting on the James Out West Twitter handle per Pat the Stat Guy getting on me about
not twitting, or is it past tense twatting?
Ooh. Yeah. I'm going to say I tweeted. I didn't twat it. I tweeted. This is James Out West After Dark, ladies and gentlemen. Dr. Drew in the house. But I think that in doing so, when I saw it came through, I thought maybe I got like Rickrolled. Like, it was Adam Schefter, but I was looking for it. It was like, if it was Adam Schefter, or, you know, spelled funny or something, you know. But no, it was the official Adam Schefter account tweeting out that Jeff Saturday was hired as the interim head coach. Now, what's wild is we know what last weekend was. Last weekend was the alumni weekend, in which the Washington Commodores, Commanders, football team, Redskins, again, After Dark, a.k.a. all the above, was in town, and they were doing the Ring of Honor. So they were bringing in Terry Glenn, stud player. All those guys there, do you think that the conversation with Jeff Saturday happened during that weekend? Because it was like a big homecoming for all the guys. Like, all the guys from that era were there. It's like Peyton was there. Jeff Saturday was there. All these guys were there. Do you think that there was a conversation to be had in which he talked to Saturday and was like, if I look going the other way? Because this, you can't make this announcement within an hour if you hadn't already had it lined up in some way, shape, or form.
Right.
So let's logistically think about this. contract hasn't been put out there, but there's been an agreement. I'm sure there's probably trust on both sides. So that's okay. Now, there has to have been something to where it's like, okay, if I do this, if I'm Jeff Saturday, if I do this, this needs to be done. There's so much to this. Did I lose you guys? Can you hear me?
No, I'm hearing you. I'm just listening.
Oh, I lost one. And so if that's the case, this has to have been like a couple of weeks, if not like a year ago, he was like, hey, I'm interested.
Oh, a year?
And then he was just like last week, he's like, dude, if you do this, this, and this to your offensive line, you'll be all right. And with the money they're paying with what Ursay's a fucking gangster, dude. Ursay's old school, freaking get his shit done. Like, fuck you. Why not bring a guy who is celebrated?
Right? Well, I'll tell you this.
And can be the literally take the heat for nothing. Because everyone's going to love him. They lose, they're okay.
No, exactly. Here's the thing. Nobody expects him to win. They've already shown the writings on the wall. They want to get a bad record now. I think they think they're in the mix for the top three pick in the draft. They need a quarterback. And Ursay knows that. And Ursay can't have Frank Wright out there, the good, humble man that he is, who's going to work his tail off to win every damn game. When you can bring in a guy like this that people now are going to want to watch. People now are going to say, no one's talking about how bad the Colts played. No one's talking about any of that. No one's even talking about the fact that Frank Wright was fired. Everybody's talking about that Jeff Saturday is hired to be the interim head coach moving forward for at least this season. Does he have it next year? No. And all those coaches are
exciting to talk about.
And all those coaches on the staff know next year they're not on this staff because they're going to bring in a whole new group. Can you get a coach to come in and say, hey, we got a really good base of defense. We've got a good running back. We need a quarterback. You get to pick him. Or is it still, I put a little bit on Ursay. You know, they've tried to make.
You think granted, they're going a different direction after Saturday? Like he doesn't have.
Oh, 100%. Saturday's not going to be that. Now, I will say this. If somehow the Colts play well enough, or even if just the offensive line plays well enough, I don't know that they're going to put together a hodgepodge group. I'm not saying it's out of the question, but I think this is really for here right now. Because guess what? When this season's over, Jeff Saturday can go back to ESPN and do his thing and keep coaching head football coach in Georgia like he was. This is basically a rent a deal. And we didn't need to, because let me ask you a question. Who the hell is calling the plays? Who's the play caller? Yes, Jeff Saturday's never. Yeah, who's the play caller? Has Jeff Saturday had a fucking meeting? Excuse my language, ladies and gentlemen. But has Jeff Saturday had a meeting with any of these guys? The answer is no.
He's got 4 days, right?
No. Here's the thing. The answer is no. Not until today. And then they postponed.
Oh, did they do their 6 o'clock meeting?
I don't know if they ended up doing it. I know they postponed it. I haven't seen any pictures.
You kind of answered one of my questions is like, do you leave ESPN to go for half a season coaching gig? But if you can go back, I guess. Then it makes sense.
Yes, you do. Yeah. If you're Jeff Saturday, who's like everybody loves him with Ursay and what he does and like being that gangster, you perform. You're making probably three or four times what you're making on ESPN. Even in just a half year. So if you actually like show up and get these guys around you and then you can start building, this is going to be his first thing. This hasn't happened since 1960, but
Ursay's got bottomless pockets. So I'm sure he was like, brother, I'll give you whatever you need. You know, he's like, I need
the WWE.
Hey, listen, brother. Yeah. You know what I mean? But I mean, to me, it's like, yes, Jeff made a lot of money, and that's the guy that paid him all of that money. When that guy calls and asks for a favor, like you said, gangster, Jim Ursay is kind of like the Godfather. Hey, when I need the favor and I come to you, you're gonna do it. And that's essentially kind of what I feel like this kind of is. Like when I paid you all this for so long, I need you to come in here and basically help sell tickets, help be the ringmaster of the shit show that's about to proceed, and I'll make it financially worth your while.
So he's hella smart. We know that his IQ, like he was always kind of that coach, even as a player. But
we've heard all the Peyton Manning and the Jeff Saturday clips today.
Yeah. What level was he down the line? Was it Peyton?
Martin? No. Peyton was never. Listen, none of them. None of them. Let me explain why. Peyton will never have somebody that's going to be able to fire him. Peyton will never be a coach, he wants a to be GM. An owner. Peyton will be an owner, or he will continue doing what he's doing, making 15 million commercials, being the funny guy, having a ton of production availability through ESPN, and basically writing his own check to do what he wants to do. Unless the competitive spirit's in him to want to be the owner and want to then try to chase Super Bowls, he's never going to have a boss. He was never a part of that conversation. Never part of that conversation.
When Saturday goes back to ESPN, do they have to call him coach like they call the ex-coaches?
100% they do. Because also, head coach, not even an OC.
It boosts his resume. You know what I mean?
He'll never be an OC or a DC. He will always be a head coach now if he was to ever do it again.
If he doesn't want to coach anymore, he should do College Game Day, and he could be Saturday coach.
Oh, I like that.
Right. Yeah.
I like that. Although I like everybody that's on that panel right now, so I don't know who you kick off. Hold on, wait a minute. They won't because here, there's one guy I would kick off of there, but they definitely will not replace him with a white guy with blue eyes. But I would kick Desmond Howard off of there. I can't stand him. And he is from my hometown, Akron. I'll give him that shout out. But boy, he is the biggest hater of Ohio State and the hater in general. But you can't get rid of him because then that panel becomes way too white.
But it's just the vibe. Like it's the same.
Pat McAfee becomes the second black guy on that show. So it becomes way too white. You really got to have that third guy. Yeah.
When Nate Burleson.
Every guest picker better be Darius Rucker.
Football. Yeah. When Nate Burleson left Good Morning Football, like that was over. And then, like,
what about him, McCourty? I like McCourty. I like McCourty a lot.
I do too, but like,
and here's the thing. Hey, real quick, I know we're going, and this is kind of a different type of show, ladies and gentlemen, but real quick with Good Morning Football, I kind of feel like Kyle is checked out and Peter Schrager's written himself off. Like, this show is going to have a completely different look, I think, next season.
Kyle is doing his own podcast and promoting that every day.
I think he's going to be out on that show. He'll do a segment, like Angry Runs will be a segment that he films and they show, but I think that they're going to be done. Bro, they're still holding on to Nate, bro. Mm-hmm. They still bring Nate on, like, bro, because they fucked up the magic. The magic was those four, and that show was so legit. I don't know if it was so much money. When you're Nate, when you're anybody and you're given the opportunity of what he was given, I don't know that the money mattered. It's, wait a minute, I'm going to be on Extra. I'm going to be on E. I'm going to be on CBS Mornings. You know what I'm saying? Like CBS Mornings, like talking about real world stuff. Yes, I understand the money was there, but also the format and the exposure was bigger than just Good Morning Football on NFL Network. Being on CBS Mornings every day.
It's also like just the respect of like, hey, I've been around here. This is my homies. Do you want to pay me? Because
they caught lightning in a bottle, and the show just won't be the same. And then Kay Adams left, and guess what? Where's she at? She's on FanDuel TV, and hardly anybody gets it. I get on Hulu, and I never watch it. Up and Adams is okay at best. She made a calculated mistake.
No, but she does People and stuff too. But anyways, we're going way too far.
That's okay. So, this isn't a Monday show. It doesn't matter. It's more like a podcast version anyways.
We talked about the Eagles. Let's talk about like maybe two or three games because there wasn't – fucking coaches sucked this year, I think.
No, the refs. I'll give you the refs. But
schemes are being just like it's – you can literally watch a game. Like I was watching the Cardinals-Seahawks game. I could see exactly what the fucking Cardinals were going to do, and then the Seahawks come right around the corner. Like Kyler Murray then gets mad and it's just like, dude, you're not performing and you're fighting with your coach. That shit is toxic. It was almost fun to watch because it was exciting for my wife. But at the same point, I didn't want the Seahawks to win because now they're another game up on us.
Right.
But dude, coaching sucks.
That stat, well, mention it for the Cardinals that they broke that streak of they finally scored on their opening drive. 14 games without an opening drive TD. So they finally broke that. Probably the only positive to come out of that game for them. But.
Well, yeah, no. And you're absolutely right. Like, small steps. Here's what I will say though, because and guess what premieres, I think next week, Hard Knocks in season, Arizona Cardinals.
That's going to be fun.
So we're going to get a good look at this. And again, like talk with my buddy that covers the Cardinals on the daily, what he was saying, Donnie D in the Berg, shout out. he was saying it's more pressure both internally from an internal standpoint of both Kyler and Cliff and internally within the building, as much as it is the external pressure of the media, of the expectations of what the Cardinals should be. But it, a lot of it comes down to, and I think it does boil down to Cliff, and this is probably why I will never be in a locker room with those guys, but I think that they got themselves kind of a fugazi. Like, what has Cliff Kingsbury done in his career to show that he is an offensive guru genius? And I want to go back to Texas Tech. He had Pat Mahomes, he had Baker Mayfield, and he never won anything. He became the OC at USC for a cup of coffee. And that cup of coffee came with probably a $25,000 bag of McDonald's like they do the players. And then all of a sudden, Steve Keim wanted to make a splash and thought, maybe I get this guy with this guy. And it simply didn't work. I know people want to see both Keim and Cliff gone, but I think Steve Keim has built a roster to win. It didn't work out, and he made a calculated mistake with the coach. But don't go down with that ship. I think it's time that Cliff and that culture has to go. I think he needs to take his sunglasses, his 5 o'clock shadow, back to the W in Scottsdale and hang out in the offseason to figure himself out back in college. Shout out, Coach. I know you know way more than me about football. And I'm not saying I do, but I'm saying you don't.
Should ASU? Well,
he's going to be the
same. No, no, no. ASU shouldn't want him because, again, he never won anything in college either.
But now he's got
like the – if I'm ASU
– oh, head coach on his resume when he's recruiting, you know what
and
I
he
mean?
And he can't go from the Cardinals to ASU. It's just so close to one another. That will feel like a demotion.
Yeah, I'm just saying. He wants to keep that house in Scottsdale.
Oh, he's got enough money to keep that house in Scottsdale. He partied here a long time, enough when he was in college. He talked about it.
As soon as you heard it,
you're like, oh, bro, you definitely are in the Scottsdale boys.
Speaking of people who just got paid, Kyler just got paid. Is Kyler making that bag, the same money, if he has this season and, you know, without the contract?
It's the stupidest fucking move I told you guys earlier. Like, he's never going to last the entire season. The motherfucker rather play
games than freaking we're through. You're saying a lot of dangerous things. We are 9 weeks through the season, and he's played every game. So he makes it through all 17. He makes it through 17 games. You're going to stop saying that because then he will. It just wasn't a good year.
Record, he's right, though. With this record, does he start playing more Call of Duty than focusing on, you know, route running and like what?
He's still posting on IG that he's playing like all these video games. Like, dude, shut up.
Stop. But here, okay. I know we say that, but let's look at it from a real standpoint. They are human beings. We're human beings. Do you spend 24 hours a day, seven days a week focused on just your job? No, you don't. You want to go home. You hang out. You do things. It's not always that. So if I watch 4 hours of film, I'm supposed to watch five. I watch 6 hours of film, I'm supposed to watch seven. Because I decided in that hour I was going to take some time for myself and snipe some people or go get a massage. I better not get a massage. But going and doing anything of any extracurriculars, they're not allowed to do that. Like a jail. Like just because they're in the spotlight of the media under a magnifying glass that they have to do everything football or everything basketball or everything baseball 24/7. No, that's a little bit over exaggeration.
You don't fucking post that shit though. That's my thing is that you don't,
I would say don't post. I would say if he was saying that he was playing 12 hours, I just got off a 12 hour bender of a game, bro. And I got to play it practice in 2 hours, then maybe. But let me see here. Practice is over and I'm home by 3. I've done film study till 5. I've eaten my nutritious meal that my private chef has cooked for me. I got a light workout in. It's 8 o'clock. I'm going to play an hour and a half of Call of Duty. And I'm going to post it because guess what? It still brings up my overall net average of what my value is as a brand. And all of this pay the man his money and give the man his money and pay the man and all that shit. This also helps them make their money. So I don't have a problem with it.
You know what I mean?
Then don't fucking complain about Russell Wilson and all his corny bullshit.
Touché.
But the Cardinals are 2-7.
Okay. Here's the difference. Kyler really is a gamer. Here's the difference. Kyler really is a gamer.
T-Pain's a fucking gamer. He's making more money than he was rapping.
Hey, but guess what? They're real gamers. There is nothing. Russell's not real with anything. He's not real with anything. He is fake. From the moment he wakes up, I guarantee you that fucker wakes up at 5 a.m. and says, God bless you, go Broncos. He just says it. It's ingrained in him. He's just one of those people. It's okay. There's people that are, we actually know a few. Hey, we know a few. Rooks, we know a few that carry that same fucking energy. And you would say they are Fugazi as well. But they do it nonetheless.
Fucking video of him. He's at his house after they come home from London. And it's like one of those like, oh, high knees. Oh,
yeah. Okay. I did not see it.
Oh, London. Dude.
Bro, is he leaning into the heel? Or is he really taking it like. It's incredible to me. So you know what? That reminds me a lot of, man, we're going so deep off the rails here. But when Hollywood people or, you know, try to act like they know what regular everyday fucking life is like. It's like, no, everyday life isn't like that. Everyday life is X, Y, and Z. Same thing there. That he thinks that that's like, oh, no, they're laughing with me. No, they're not. They're laughing at you. No, they're laughing with us, bro. Me and Sierra, we got this unlocked, baby. You know, Mr. Unlimited. Unlimited.
Like the best analogy 90. I could think of.
He leaned into it.
He's leaned into it. Yeah. And I agree. I like some of the shit he says when he was talking shit on Chad Powers. He's like, oh, Chad Powers? Like Eli was talking trash? Like, I appreciate it. So I will give him his props when he needs it because that was funny. And I get that in that moment. I was like, oh, okay, Russ. All right, I see you. But, dude, 95% of the time, it's not that way.
It's just corny. It's ignorance. But I mean, but it's also like brand recognition that like people are telling you.
Yes.
Like when you have a person for every fucking arm, leg, and like then your wife.
Yeah.
Like literally every ligament is fucking taken care of and paying millions of dollars to take care of your body. So, man.
I can understand it doesn't make it any less corny.
If you got
don't make it any less corny. Hey, all right, so let's get into this real quick. We covered how Seattle beat Arizona and went into it. I want to talk about Pat's Vikings and the play. My goodness, dogs, be quiet. You're fucking up the broadcast.
The girls are going crazy.
They are.
They want to be part of it.
Well, everybody wants to be part of it. It's an exclusive club, ladies and gentlemen. I want to talk about the Heineke 44 yards in the air like moon ball praying to Jesus that it makes it and doesn't get picked off to have – three defenders converging, one receiver in the area, and all of a sudden, out of nowhere, a fucking back judge is standing in the way of a clear interception. Decides to lower the shoulder and smack into the Minnesota Viking defender. Ball is caught. Everybody else doesn't want to get hit for PI, so they all go, whoa, 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 not me, not me, not me, not me. Doesn't get touched, rolls into the end zone, touchdown. Granted.
It reminds me of like a. Do you remember there was an old play against the Packers where the guy, the ball rolls on the Packers' back and like the Vikings guy just kind of puts his hands up and thinks the ball's incomplete and the dude just gets up and runs for a touchdown.
Yes. But yes.
I don't have any names or.
That was Brett Favre days. Oh my God. It was.
Who was that?
Oh my God. It wasn't Sterling Sharp. It wasn't Sterling Sharp. It was. Oh my God. What was his name? It was way before Donald Driver. Oh, all right. So it looks like Brooks is looking it up. But that play in specifically, though, seeing that happen and then knowing, like, because like Pat said, he's like, he hasn't been blown away by what the Vikings have done to win games. But to overcome, like, that type of shit that happened in that game with that, that's the type of shit that happens when you lose the game. Like, that type of shit happens. Oh, they lost because of crazy shit like that. But the fact that they were able to overcome some wildness that happened in that game, I think to me, speaks to what the Vikings could do. Now, they could be out in the first round. Don't get me wrong. But that's the same thing with, like, the Seattle.
Some of that, but yeah.
Anyways. You know, I think a lot of those teams can be that way. I think a lot of those teams can be that way, can be bounced in the first round. I think your team is right on track. What'd you say,
was that the Antonio Pat? Freeman?
I was telling you to knock
on. There you go. There you go. There you go. There you go. Antonio Freeman catch.
Knock on wood. The Vikings aren't getting eliminated first round. I'm just saying, like, you know, yeah, they haven't had any super impressive wins where they blew, you go, wow, damn, like the Vikings are really good. Like you haven't had a Dalvin Cook 200-yard rushing game and like, you know, they just haven't all had it together at once. But you're right. Like that was a difference maker in the game, like made it probably closer than it really was. You know, the people on the call in the game, they were like, oh, you know, with the ref, it was like there was four defenders. No, he actually took out a defender. So there was only two
for the right.
Three, and the guy who had the best beat on the ball is the one that
was the one that got hit. Yeah. Yep. And the ref did. It's like why you keep backing up? The ball is going to go over your head. You're running. You're first off. You're a slow ass white guy that's not in the NFL. is running backwards. You think you're going to outrun? You're going to outrun this dude's pass, bro? Diagonal and get the fuck off the field, or stop, or just stand still. Stand still and turn around. Hold on, let me see the play from this way. Oh, clear pass interference or interception. Nope. Instead, now granted, I understand they are a part of the play, but what sucks is they're a part of the play and that dude didn't get lit up. Like the defender got lit up. It's like, it's better if that's going to happen, but I just destroyed the back judge. Sorry, back judges, but you might take some heat sometime. You know, get smacked around and get hit like full speed. At least you'd be like, ah, I didn't get the interception. But you see me lay him out. They had to bring in the alternate judge. They had to bring an alternate official. I laid that sucker out. I know that's what the players would rather have happen. Now, this dude got deboed by a fucking back judge. It's a bad look. Granted, thank God they won. It was a bad look.
Yeah. It was like, Fred, did you see Fred Warner's Superman jump last week? Because we didn't play this week, obviously. But did you see his hit?
Yeah.
That coming across, like, that's it was just like, just get the fuck out of my way.
that's the shit
that another guy should have done. But
it is and then real quick, because we don't need to bounce into, you know, we're not gonna cover every game, but this was an exciting situation. Like Chicago Bears trading Roquan Smith, they got rid of half their damn team, it feels like, right? They go and get Chase Claypool. Okay. They gave Miami a game. Now, granted, Miami won 35-32, didn't cover, obviously, but Chicago doing what they did in Chicago, like, I mean, what they rushed for, like, I think 5,000 yards in that game. I think they rushed for like 5,000 yards in that game. And
Justin Fields had 178.
168. Rushing. He had 168. Most ever in a game. 178. Most ever in a game since the Super Bowl.
Yeah.
Since 19.
The Super Bowl era is what you're trying to say.
Era, so like 60s, like something like that.
That's absurdity.
That's retarded.
In the Super Bowl era, thank you, Pat. Yes. That's wild to me. But you know what, though? At the same time.
All it was good for was fantasy stats in the end. But
I was about to say, at the end, all that matters is they still got a loss, though. It was exciting, but they still got a loss. But Miami doing what they need to do. Tua, look at what Tyreek Hill is doing. I tweeted out yesterday, Tyreek Hill, I want to know what the future is for him as the offensive player of the year. And somebody responded, shout out, somebody whoever responded that was, thank you, was like, what about MVP? Like, he's on pace right now for over 2,000 yards, and he's at a faster pace than he was going into the week.
Dude, I fucking sat.
It's absurd what they have done.
I sat Tua to put in Aaron Rodgers.
I did that in the league.
I'm like fucking over it.
The week before I benched Rodgers and started Tua. And then this week I flipped him because I was like, oh, okay, maybe. No. Well, that and I heard the winds were 45 miles an hour in Chicago, and then I was like, oh, the deep ball. And then when it came to game time, they're like, oh, the wind has died down. It's about 20 miles an hour, very sunny. It really shouldn't affect the game anymore. And I was like, damn it. I went too deep into thinking about, oh, the wins, they're going to run more, they're going to be in the lead. I went down too many what ifs, and if ifs were fists, we'd all be fucked up. So I know you didn't hear it the first time because it was so clever, but D-Butt said if ifs were fists, we'd all be drunk.
Yeah, I know. It's just
so, you know, you got to play the hand you're fucking dealt. Detroit beating Green Bay. I mean, it's as bad as it gets. What? We're going through the games, bro. What do you want to cover?
You're fucking cracking me up. It's just hilarious.
Sorry, bro. Hey, this is what happens when it's after hours. James Out West, YouTube edition. Green Bay.
Not early morning coffee.
Detroit.
It's not early morning.
No, coffee. No. This is ice cold Bud Light. What? looking at it though, but like Green Bay is worse as bad as it can get. No offensive touchdowns. What Rodgers threw two or three interceptions. One was very, very horrible looking. The other one bounced off someone's helmet. I mean, it looked like the roles were reversed. It looked like Green Bay was Tampa Bay or Detroit, and Detroit was Green Bay, and yet still not very good. We've talked about how the Raiders are terrible, and we weren't going to bet them, and yet we did, and we got schooled, Jacksonville 27-20. I mean, the Raiders 17-point depletion. They were up 17-0. They were up 17-0. That's three games this year that the Raiders have been up 17 or more and have lost the game. That's coaching. And I understand it's first-year head coach, Josh McDaniels, but the Davis son picked the wrong guy for the job. He picked the wrong guy for the job.
So coming
straight. And it's coming back to bite him in the ass. Oh boy. Shout out Bowers.
So I won't go into anything too crazy because there was a little bit more than this, but nothing, what he says is quote, nothing to say other than an embarrassing loss. I'm officially off as a Carr supporter. Let it be an all-star somewhere. Let him be an all-star somewhere else. Okay, I'll skip that part. Why anybody in the Bay would be supportive and spend money to even go to Vegas to support them anymore is crazy. And I'm like, what's even funnier is that you guys are the highest ticket price per game.
100%. I was going to say that. When I was looking at tickets for Raiders games, it is unbelievable. Now, I get it because it's a show and it's in Vegas.
You know who's number two?
You guys, Niners, really? Yeah.
It's fucking. So thank you.
Yeah, you're welcome.
Because you bought me tickets, so I.
Hey, and that game's gonna matter something for you guys. Not so much for the Cardinals, probably, but it should matter for you guys in the sense it could be it could be win and you win the division. Because there's still how many games left?
We're only two behind.
Yeah, so yeah. A lot can happen. That could, 3 weeks from now, we could talk about how you guys are in the league. So there's a lot that's still up in the air.
6-3, like the way that you look at it, like if you think about with the rest of the schedule, I mean, thinking about even the rest of the schedule for the rest of the year, the fucking Eagles could go undefeated.
Bro, look at the schedule. It is a wild schedule. I think Pat actually took us through that a few weeks ago. It was like, wait a minute.
Yep.
That is dangerous to have that team end up being like that. And Jalen Hurts seems like a real dude. Like they are all bought into him and Sirianni. I mean, exciting for them. Exciting for them.
The biggest jump.
Is he the MVP with the 8-0 record?
No.
No.
Pat. So who's the MVP right now?
Pat.
Pat who? Pat the Stat?
Patrick Mahomes.
Is not the MVP of the season.
Yes, he is, dude. You look at what he's done with that team and what he's done to change like the way that you look at the game. Okay, so here's, let me put it this way.
With a team that was in the Super Bowl and the AFC Championship, like back to back to back. What do you mean that team?
Because of him? Yeah, that's why.
No, I understand, but they also have Travis Kelce. They also have a stud amount of guys and a coaching geniuses.
Every year you say LeBron is the best player and it should be the MVP, right? All this time. This is the same situation. There's other people get bored because of his like amazing ability. Like what he's doing is epic. Yes, you can give it up to Jalen Hurts. I'm not saying that he's not an MVP candidate, but you're not putting, I'm putting Pat above him right now.
Well, if they do go undefeated, and again, I'm now looking at their record and I think you're right. They have a real shot. To me, their hardest game is at the Cowboys. But they have a pretty good record. I mean, their next four is the versus the Commanders, at the Colts, versus Green Bay, and then versus the Titans. And then the rest of the way, it is pretty easy. You know, there's a couple playoff teams in there in the New York Giants. They play the Giants twice, but I think the Eagles handle the Giants.
So let me just give you the stat. So I just pulled it up. So Patrick Mahomes is leading in passing yards with 2,605 yards through, what, 9 games. He has 21 touchdowns, 6 interceptions. Jalen Hurts is 2,042 yards passing. 12
touchdowns, 2 picks. I see it.
What about his rushing? Well, he's a dual threat quarterback.
Good point there, Pat.
Correct. How many does he have? What, 4 or 5?
He's got almost 400 yards rushing and 3 touchdowns. Oh, sorry. Hold on.
Okay.
He's got 326 yards. He's got 326 yards rushing and 6 touchdowns. He's got six rushing.
Big body in the red zone. Like, dude, oh, when they played the Vikings, man.
So he's at 20.
He's a threat.
So he's at 20-2. Okay, 20-2. Instead of
so I see both. I can see. I'm not arguing that Pat doesn't, but just off my head, I'm thinking more Jalen than him. But I obviously see.
So you don't think like team record should play into it as much as I'm kind of saying. Like if the Eagles go undefeated, does the record play into it, or is it more just like, you know, obviously Pat isn't gonna have, they're not undefeated, but
I think that's like a 10 to 15% percentage. Like, if you actually did that shit, that's like next level, right? But when you do, like, if Pat Mahomes was to only lose like three or four games, then I think that he's still up there.
I mean, like, yeah, even a 16-1 record is like amazing. But like you're saying, it's not the record. It's, we got to look, dig a little deeper.
If you do go undefeated or you have a 16-1 record, you got to put that into the evaluation because you're the most valuable person on the best team. That's a big part of it. But when you're still also doing things that, like, you're surrounded by different, like, the Eagles are fucking stacked. Like, they built that GM freaking put that team together very, very well. So I don't know. I mean, let's see. I mean, we're only halfway through the season.
If they go undefeated, there's your MVP and your coach of the year. Just it's because of the historical, it's just like Judge. He hit 62 home runs. He's going to be MVP.
It's not always the best player on the best team, though. Like, you're right. Like, if that were the right case, Devin Booker would have been an MVP. You know what I mean? Like, those guys sometimes barely even make the conversation. Like Devin Booker. That's just my example in my head right now. But like,
no, it makes sense. He does.
Shout out to Suns fans. Like,
I mean, MJ should have won MVP. LeBron should have won MVPs fucking probably two or three more times more than they did. I mean, there's like, we can talk about like even Aaron Donald and like the different defensive players. Like, sometimes people just get bored, and it's the people who fucking vote. This is why it's fucking, I hate it, but it's opinionated. So here's what it is. But dude, we got a fucking big week this week. I'm excited for this week.
Well, why? Who do you guys this week? The Suns are on a road trip stretch this whole week. They won't be back until next week.
Yeah, that's what I thought. Okay. So we have Sunday night football this week and Monday night football in Mexico next week.
Oh, you guys do?
Damn. Yeah, so we play the Chargers on Sunday night and then the Cardinals in Mexico, the Aztec Stadium, Mexico City.
Yeah, now, how many times they play? I feel like they've played there a few times over the last few years, yeah?
We played there, or the NFL.
Against the Cardinals, there, right? No, but I'm saying Cardinals, Niners specifically.
I don't think we've gone down there. The Cardinals have gone, I know, twice.
Who did the Cardinals play when they did that?
It might have been the Raiders. Let's find out.
Okay, I think it was the Raiders. So what we got, let me see here. What's up with week 10? We got week 10 Thursday night game is, let me see.
Oh, for Thursday night?
Yeah, what do we got?
Falcons-Panthers.
Falcons-Panthers.
We're like, what the fuck?
What a terrible fucking game.
You guys tell me about it, yeah. Tell me how it goes.
I mean, I'm sure I'll have it on, but I'll be watching basketball probably. But that's a bad game. Now, we've said that a few times and watch it be entertaining. Looks like it's going to be a bad game. Doesn't mean it won't be entertaining. I mean, Seahawks at Bucks, Vikings at Bills.
Amazon got sold such a shit package of games, Mike.
Well, no, because the first couple of weeks they were great.
First couple of weeks? Okay.
That's how they got your start. That's how they got you. Yeah, it's the start.
These two great things in the shit bundle. Yeah.
Hey, that's how life works, bro. You know,
you are TV hit will give you. In 2005, we played down there. We played in Mexico as far as the NFL four times, but we did play the Cardinals in 2005 down there.
The Niners have played there twice. Okay.
Yeah. That's. God, I forgot about that. And what sucks is that people don't think about it. That shit's like high altitude. That's like,
yeah, no, more, I know.
That's
because we're naive. Like, we're like, it's south. It must be smaller. Most people below sea level because the world revolves around us.
Anyway. Yeah, it's hey, the real border quick. Still gets higher.
Hey, real quick.
If you ever go there,
real quick. So looking at this week's slate of games coming. Obviously, the Thursday game stinks. We've got Germany, Munich, first game ever. 7:30 in the morning on Sunday. You got the Geno Smith-led Seattle Seahawks at the Buccaneers, but it is in Yamini. So very cool. Very cool indeed.
Geno needs to record like high knees, throwing bro, his fucking ball.
Going to, you know, it's funny is so that, you know, do you know how Seattle, do you know how they're getting there, right? When they fly?
They got to go up and then
they go across, up and right? over.
You
can't, so they go up go. Over the, they go up over the North Pole.
Yeah.
And come in north of Europe into Germany, as opposed to, you know, across through Chinese airspace and Russian airspace. It's kind of probably a smart thing to do, but just interesting because we forget that we're on a globe. All you flat earthers out there, we are on a globe, so they have to go up and around, not just across. At any rate, Vikings Buffalo might be the game of the week. Vikings Buffalo might be the game of the week, and of course, it's the morning game. Jesus, guys, come on! What's the night game? Chargers night. I mean, I can see how in the beginning of the year you might have put that. And they're 5-3 and 4-4, I guess. But
why do we only have three afternoon games? This is bullshit. Like,
so I do not like the staggering of how they've been doing this last week and this week. And I understand. I don't understand. It makes no sense. We've got 11 games in the morning. The Chicago game could be an afternoon game. It's on the, I know it's in the middle of the country, but still kind of East Coast. You could do.
And then Monday night's Commanders, Eagles. Like, are you fucking kidding me? This week.
Whoa. I will say this though. Hey. Going into the season, I have no idea how they scheduled the Commanders and Eagles. That I don't know going into the season. But since the season has gone on, even though the Commanders are 4-5, they are a relevant team to watch play football because they put on a good game. Whether it's they do just enough to hang in there, they have a bunch of crazy plays. They always have something wild go on. That kind of reminds me of a Browns team from like 2006 where they're in every game, but they're not going to win most games. But they make some crazy stuff happen that's fun. And crazy stuff happening, you're like, of course, that's why they would lose. And I gotta say, you know, Eagles. I would rather watch this than watch the fucking Broncos Titans, because I'm sure they try to stuff their asses in there on a Sunday night, or you know what I mean? I'd rather watch that than the Saints Steelers. I mean, gag me with a fucking spoon. Saints Steelers? Who wants to watch that?
There's a lot, like
nobody.
Rams Cardinals. Like we thought the Rams Cardinals would probably be a decent game, but mm-mm.
Bro, 3-6 versus 3-5. It's gonna be a trash ass game.
Yeah, but you could have predicted where a lot of these teams are at the beginning of the season.
Yes. So you can get where they were, like the Cowboys Packers game. That was like, that's a marquee game for the ages. You know what I mean? That's like every couple of years. And the Cowboys are good and the Packers stink right now. So it's just one of those things like this year just makes no sense. All of this stuff is wild to me. The Texans are 1-6-1 and the Giants 6-2. How much money is going to be on the Giants to win that game? All of the money.
Giants all of the money. 6.5, though. I would actually bet on that right now.
Well, maybe you should.
A touchdown?
Maybe you should. I know we'll give our picks out on Thursday, but my goodness gracious.
Because all the money's on the Giants, you're betting Houston? Is that what you would do?
Yeah, I would do. I mean, if 85% of the money's on the Giants.
Touchdown.
I mean, you can take the touchdown. I mean, it's a terrible.
I've been
seeing the Giants
all year, and I've been right.
Let's see if you can actually make that bet this weekend, James. I know you make your bets. I'll see if you pick Houston.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. Listen, I make my picks on Thursday, just knowing I'm future projecting that the Giants are going to have all the money on them. Okay. All the money on them. And you just never know because this season's been this way. It makes all the sense in the world that the Giants would win.
Vegas right? is always fucking killing me this year. Like they're fucking.
Right, because someone's going to win by fucking six. Like they're going to find a way to fuck both parties. Oh, there he is. So real quick, I'm looking over here, and that's what you want to fuck both parties. I'm looking
you
at
have the rock the,
Indiana.
You.
Hey, what's
you have
up?
The rock young behind rock. You.
Hey, no free promos, Rock. No free promos, Rock. Sorry, get off my TV, Rock. I'm looking at. They did do the interview, the intro with Jeff Saturday. I see him there in front of the Indiana Farmer Bureau backdrop of the Indianapolis Colts, giving his introductory speech. I mean, we're gonna see this Sunday. How much a head coach would make a difference when that head coach has never coached at all? It's like everything we wish we could do. I bought a team, Pat. You're the fucking offensive coordinator. Rooks, you're in charge of the sound. I don't know.
I can't be the defensive coordinator. Jesus Christ.
I don't know. I don't know. Maybe special teams, bro. I don't know.
The 6-4.
Look, I'm not even that.
I don't know. We'll find something for you.
It's fine.
But you know what I'm saying? Like, that's what you would want to do. You would put your people in place for stuff. You know what I mean? And now they're just putting the fuck it. Fuck it. Who cares? Oh, you've never been a head coach before? I need somebody to take the slip. Hey, here's $5 million. Just be a total slapdick out there. I really don't care. Matter of fact, I want you all to lose games. So here you go. Here are the keys to the organization for the next 5 months. Because after that, I'm cleaning house. I'm rebuilding.
I'm going to pay you $4 million to eat shit and to give interviews and try and win games, but also try and get us to that number one pick. But you are my man.
Yes, is sir. CJ out the number one pick?
I don't know.
No, Detroit.
No, he's asking, is CJ Stroud the number one pick, the quarterback for Ohio State? I'm going to say no.
Oh. I mean, dude, that's going to fucking change three times from Sunday.
Yep.
Fucking.
I'm going to say no. I'm going to call it right now the number one like the pick.
Colts. For a team like the Colts who could use a quarterback, you know what I mean? Hey. Like,
it's, oh, they'll take a quarterback, but it'll be the mixture of the three.
I'm going to tell you right now who I think the number one quarterback is going to be out of all this, who's going to be drafted number one.
Of course, Ohio State.
No, I already said that. I don't think C.J. Stroud will be the number one guy. You don't think
Stroud's going to be it?
I don't. I think he'll be the third pick in the draft.
Well, I think
it'll I think the number one pick in the draft is going to
– But who? But second third, quarterback?
No, it's third quarterback. Quarterback. I think it's going to – I think age. I think the number one quarterback in the draft that's going to be drafted number one is going to end up being that kid out of North Carolina.
Over that Tennessee kid?
Mays. Mays will be the number one quarterback drafted in the NFL.
Interesting.
If the Raiders are the top three pick, do they go with a quarterback and boot Carr?
Yeah.
You got to. Well, here's the thing. No, here. That's the smart football play, but that's not what the Raiders do.
Probably going to win enough games to not be.
Yeah, they won't have a top three pick anyways.
But still, that would be interesting to see if Carr would get booted for one of
these. Houston's going to have like 1-3 or 1-4.
Yeah.
If the Browns don't get it together, they have the Browns first round pick. And then they got Miami's first round pick, which Miami's first round pick's gonna be late, but
well, and the Eagles have the Saints first round pick, the Texans have the Browns first round pick, and the Seahawks have this Broncos first round pick.
See, the Broncos first round pick might be good for the Seahawks. And same thing with the Browns pick might be really good for Houston, and Houston's already gonna have the first or second pick.
Yeah. This is gonna be interesting.
What if Chicago's in that? Are they gonna draft a quarterback? Or are they trade out?
There's
so many ups and downs.
With this quarterback and then the cornerbacks, so our secondary, there's going to be a lot of talent coming out. I bet you there's going to be a lot of movement going into the draft. Like people are going to make some jumps. This last year we thought we were going to see it and we didn't. I bet you this year we do.
I mean, maybe, absolutely. It could happen. But it could absolutely happen.
We're fucking midway season, and like we're talking about the offseason that we fucking hate. So,
bro. Anyways. All right. So, obviously, we get into our picks on Thursday. We'll do Thursday morning, James Out West Live YouTube, like we always do. We'll give out our weekly picks. Usually, we have some sort of backing and reasoning why we're doing it. We're not just saying it for the fuck of it. We're saying it because we actually have reasonings behind why we do it.
You're just promoting The Rock. Like,
I can't have no. Hulu is for. Roku TV is promoting The Rock. I can't help it. My screensaver went down. If you can see this, ladies and gentlemen, this is a thumb drive from about 10 years ago. It had our logo on it, literally ripped out of the back. So it's stuck in the TV and it won't come on anymore. So there's that. And that had the logo. So there. That's hanging out. Real quick.
That's our life story, dude. This is like it's our career.
Always.
Yeah.
Real quick, kind of a monumental day in the association. We don't talk a lot of basketball, but we will transition to that as it becomes deeper into that season and football goes away because we still have a show to fill. NBA had every single team playing tonight because, you know, the wokeness of the NBA wants to make sure that everybody votes tomorrow. So to make sure that none of their players had an excuse, they couldn't vote because they had a game. So they made sure that everybody played today. So everybody's off tomorrow because we are all about that in 2022. But it could be 2022. It could be 2000. I wouldn't say 2012 because they were good then, but man, the Lakers stink, bro. Lakers are getting stomped a mud hole in their candy ass. Shout out The Rock. 88-101. Utah's whooping that ass. This is despicable basketball. Despicable basketball. And it's early in the season, and I get that, but you cannot play the way that they played. Now, the Suns getting beat tonight by Philadelphia 76ers. That's a bad look. But at the same time, you know, I think, first off, Phoenix was tired coming off of, like we just talked about earlier, coming off their back-to-backs that they had, traveling cross-country. First game, Joel Embiid's been back in a little bit. Chris Paul left the game early, I think, with elbow or ankle, wrist. Some part of his body got injured. I ain't sure which one. But whichever one it is, they kept him off the remainder of the game. and they got handled pretty easily in that game. Oh, it's his heel. His heel, he exits the game. So, man, the NBA has been wild this year. Number one team in the league, surprise, surprise, Milwaukee Bucks right now. Number two team in the league, surprise, the Cleveland Cavaliers at 7-1, playing this evening against the LA Clippers, and they're down 3 in the third quarter. Basketball's been fun this year.
Oh, Rose lead.
Hey, listen. I didn't make up the stand. This is ESPN. This is ESPN coming up with it. Look, power rankings. Okay. Cleveland Cavaliers take a step closer to the top spot. Look, I'm just saying, Mitchell and Garner are emerging as the potent duo that they are. Those are my words. That's what wrote this on ESPN. A lot
of really good young players that are really
what
good.
Is eight? Like, what are they going off of? They're going off the fact they have an 8-1 record. Like, I mean, nothing's being made up here. Like,
right? No. Everything's going off legit. Like right now, if we were to project this out over the season, Donovan Mitchell is in the mix for MVP. Granted, we played 10 games. We really shouldn't be talking MVP. But if we are, Luka's being hyped and he's doing the things that needs to be done to be the MVP. And me and Pat spoke earlier, and we will get into this on another podcast because this is a lot of time. But like Luka, when he scores a 30 or 35 points, it's like a loud 30 points. Like everything he does, like it seems like so much more. It seems like he had 45, but he had 30. Right. Then you have guys like Devin Booker and CJ McCollum, who it's like, what did they do tonight? They had like 14. They had 27. When the fuck did they score 27? I feel like they did. It's because it's so smooth and within the flow of the game where Luka and Ja Morant scores like a heavy 30 or a loud 30, as he called it, because like everything they do is with so much splash and so much eyes on attention where Book comes down, catches the screen, 15 footer, good, running down the other end of the court.
Well, no one's paying attention. If you pay attention to basketball and the way you break it down, is that a lot of is dribble time. So how much time is Luka holding the ball?
ISOs.
So when he's holding it for longer, it is a more dramatic point, right?
Agreed.
As opposed to a cut where, you know, somebody, you know, Booker, whoever's going down the lane, getting that little shot. When you actually break it down, you look at what is dribble time? What is their actual holding the time? That's where it's more dramatic. And I really do think that makes a big difference. And I do think that players know that for MVP. Like when, like Harden was in that, won his MVP, like in that, he knew the now ball Luka was in his hands.
Luka's the epitome of that at this point.
Yep. Like, yeah. Agreed.
Luka at this point. And again, so he is the loudest 30 points. When he scores 30, it feels like he scored 50. And when Devin Booker scores 30, it feels like he scored 15. And,
yeah, because he's doing 3-4.
And within the game. Yeah.
Fade away.
Very Devin much Booker so.
He's got that smooth mid range game. And, you know, yeah.
But he's got that Europe friggin' vibe of just like it's, the structure of fakeness, like you're gonna give these, you know, the half Euro step, right? Like there is a reason why we call it the Euro step. Like the way that he plays is very much European compared to American basketball, and he's dominating it. And he's a big friggin' kid for like the way he can control himself. Like it's the NBA has a lot to look forward to.
It is interesting. Talking to you two guys though, because your teams are kind of flipped, right? Like the Cavs are good and Golden State is 3-7. Like, you know, this
something's up with Clay, dude.
Is that like, what it is?
There's a lot to it. I think there's a lot with Clay. I think Draymond, I think there's a divide within the team. I mean Draymond fucking punching Poole, you know, in the summer. Like literally I saw that, like they went straight up and he like friggin' nailed him into the back of the backcourt. Like, it's just, I don't know, man, the Warriors will get things right. We always do. Like everybody counted us out. Even you guys, when we were on air last year, going into the playoffs. Yeah.
Won the weakest championship in NBA history.
Either way, 72 games.
Lakers bubble is the weakest fucking championship.
Disagree. Bullshit. Don't wholeheartedly disagree.
Fuck that.
Wholeheartedly disagree.
72 games left for them to get it together, but yeah, it is just interesting at this point because yeah, usually it's the Cavs who suck and Golden State who's looking good.
Yeah, we'll see at the end of the year. Let's see.
I ain't gonna argue that.
50 games from now, we'll talk about it. But hey, boys.
We'll be talking about it all year long because we cover basketball now. So it's one of those things that if you check out jamesoutwest.com, fuck your moment. If we check out jamesoutwest.com, You'll see live blogs. There'll be more tweeting because I'm going to be doing, we're going to have to be doing more live tweeting during the games versus live blogs because it does get out more. So we'll figure that out. I'll try to figure out how to get you in that. Pat's going to have to
we can
jump
do
in on
both.
that as well.
So on the bottom, we can actually send it through our stuff.
If you're connected to that Twitter.
Okay.
So you have to connect.
We'll
to
get smarter. Thing. We're there. We're almost there.
Because I'm certainly fucking working harder, not smarter. You should see what I was trying to do today, trying to figure this shit out with the dude. HDMI cables plugged into this thing. I had three different cords running around here. Dude, this looked like I was running, like I was about ready to Honey, I Shrunk the Kids type shit. There was cords and shit everywhere in this garage. It was, the dogs were scared to death. The dogs were like, what is this fucking guy doing? I had cords and lines and lights everywhere.
They were clapping for you earlier, just like, hey.
Bro, I thought I had it figured out. And then we were on here for almost an hour before this trying to figure it out. And everything was fine. It's always on my end. Because it's always on my end. It's always. Always what it is. It's okay, though.
Okay.
It's all good. All right, so Thursday morning, James Out West Live, YouTube. Shout out. Maybe Pat, in his busy day, can call in and we can get him on. Maybe we can do that. You can let me know. We're usually about 9:30, 10 in the morning, but I know you work, your guys are a couple hours ahead, so maybe you got a break in there, maybe you can get on. We break down every game over the week for betting purposes, as well as for shit-talking purposes, but usually we break down and have some information behind it on why we do that. So if you've been listening in or watching us, other than family, and you guys are fucking bettors and gamblers, you'll have a rhyme to our reason, so to speak. So this has been entertaining, different, to say the least. This is going to go up on YouTube. This is going to go up on YouTube like this. So this should be interesting. You're going to put it up on Spotify and iTunes. You'll pull the audio. I got the video. That won't happen until tomorrow. I'm just going to be honest. It's almost fucking 10 o'clock. But
no, it's late enough.
But this was different. Not quite the radio show. A little bit different of a format. Didn't mind it, to be honest. This might be something that we do in between Mondays and Thursdays, you know, which would be either Tuesday or Wednesday. I don't know which one, but you know, something to that effect. But I can see this working out. Plus, we're going to do more basketball. We've talked about doing a couple of other things, like entertainment-wise, TV-wise. I know you like shit. Pat's a fucking movie buff. You're a TV snob. I watch Hallmark. I could give a shit. I mean, let's be honest.
Yellowstone's
just fucking,
coming
I watch,
up, baby.
I watch everything but sports movies. Shout out, Pat.
I watch everything but sports movies. I'm trying to do a podcast where we force James to watch sports movies and get his reaction.
Oh, my God. Yes. Can we please do that?
Yes,
yeah, I fucking hate him.
Because all of the movies that I brought up, he's just like, no.
I'm
like,
and he doesn't want to do it. We got
corny as shit.
And it's even more so because I really don't fucking want to do it. I don't want to waste 10 hours of my goddamn life watching shit I want to watch. I'd rather waste 10 hours of my goddamn life watching
shit
I want to watch.
10 hours. It's like,
but I get it. Well, five. Hey, for all the movies that I've missed, it 100% is at least 10 hours. I've never watched any of these movies.
Yeah.
Okay, we can break it down now, buddy.
Yeah, over the next what, 5 years? Hopefully they don't make any more fucking new sports movies. See, look, I'm already fucking over. I'm already over it. Yeah, but maybe we will. All right. Anyways. So we'll get this up, ladies and gentlemen. Hopefully you enjoyed this. This was a little different. We'll say a little different. Pat, thanks for joining in. I appreciate the background looks good. I know the background next time will be different because Pat's going into he's rolling into Arcadia, high living. Pretty looking background. Could walk to a bunch of different bars. We'll be hanging out over there. Might have to do a YouTube live on remote from Pat's house.
Yeah, maybe.
Ooh, I like
and the fact that he just said maybe is a hard no. So we'll continue to do it from over here, but that's okay. We'll start with just going over there and getting some coffee. Anyways, tune in Thursday. We will be on the radio next Monday, ladies and gentlemen. It's been like 2 weeks. I understand. One was us. One was them. Either way, that's the biz. But what's nice about the biz now is you can still get the stuff. It's on iTunes. It's on Spotify. Right? It's on YouTube. Sometimes I'm on live. Sometimes we're not. Sometimes it's sideways. Sometimes it's not. Until we get somebody who knows what the fuck they're doing, there's going to be fuck-ups. It is what it is. Everybody, enjoy. Check out james.west.com. Check out the YouTube. YouTube.com/JamesOutWestAZ. That's where you can find our page. We got our own personalized page now. So moving up in the world, check out nothing this week because the Phoenix Suns are on the road and we don't cover road games. So next week we'll be on for that. Monday will be on the radio. This might be the longest I've been able to speak and write and said a fucking word. It's pretty wild.
I was trying. I've been trying.
I know. Hey.
I tried.
Hey, it is what it is. Any last words?
Nah, just one love. I love you boys. Like, this was a crazy, totally different show, but hey, it was fun.
Yep. Thanks, guys.
All right, Pat. I'll see you, boys. I'll talk to you guys later. Peace.